Good evening once again. I am JD, one of the pastors here. I will be here to preach to you tonight our second installment of this wonderful series. Thank God it's Monday. Who among you has been blessed by this series so far? I believe Patrick really delivered a powerful message last week, and today I'm going to talk about the second installment. If last week was about the God who works, today will be about the work that works. Right? And before I say anything about that, when we say the work that works, it's basically asking, what does the Bible tell about work? Are we supposed to enjoy work? All right? Is it even possible to enjoy work, to love work, even if it doesn't love us back? Is it possible to love and enjoy work? And if it is possible, how? You want to know that. I want to tell you that for you to love your job, a change of career is not necessary. Just a change of perspective. I know we got a lot of students here. And to bring it home for you as well, for you to love your course, to love studying, a change of course is not necessary. For you to love schooling, for you to love your college, your academics, you don't have to change your course. You just have to change your perspective. The same way we just had to change our perspective about lower kamanak. And you know what's the best perspective that I can offer you tonight? It's God's perspective on work. It's the biblical perspective. And that's what we're going to talk about. And that is my prayer, that after this word, we learn to enjoy and appreciate our jobs more, our academics more, our studies more, for the students out there. And when I say work, let me define that it's not just work as in the paid kind of work. It could be changing the soiled diaper of your baby. It could be cooking. It could be washing the dishes. Any work, we're meant to appreciate it. Because as you can learn later, it is actually a gift from God. But what makes it a gift? Let's read from our word today. Ecclesiastes 5:19. Everyone also to whom God has given wealth and possessions and power to enjoy them and to accept his lot and rejoice in his toil, this is the gift of God. You see, this verse, if you simplify this, right, it basically means it is God's gift to enjoy wealth. It's so easy, all right, if you got the wealth. But you know what's the harder half of this gift, God's gift? It's the next one, to enjoy work. Who among you can say to enjoy wealth is easy, but to enjoy work, it's definitely hard? Loving work is a rare thing. But guess what? As God's people, we're actually called to love our work. You're called to love your work. But honestly, it's not easy. But I have good news for you. It may not be quite easy, but it's actually simple. Easy and simple are two different things. You know how simple it is? To enjoy work, you just have to employ God's principles on work, God's approach on work. God's perspective, the biblical perspective of work, can be captured in three phrases. And that's what I'm going to share to you tonight. Number one, work from God. Number two, work for God. And number three, work with God. Work from God. Let's start with that. When I say work from God, I basically mean what I said earlier, what we've been saying in the whole series. Work is a gift from God. But the question is this, why is it a gift? Let's look at the verse, Genesis 2:15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden. To what? To work it and keep it. Now, it may be a pretty simple verse, but ako, out of my curiosity, I always ask questions like, if God took Adam and put him in the garden, where was he before God placed him in the garden? And when I first read this, God took him, but took him from where? It's in the verse. If God took the man from somewhere to put him inside, if Adam is inside the garden, then most probably, ganiya, he was outside the garden. Common sense. And I'm serious. He was outside the garden. But the next question is this. What in the world was he doing outside the garden? Right? What in the world was he doing outside the garden? Who among you has ever experienced the season called the tambay season? Adam, in his own way, was actually in that season. To be honest, when God made man, a few verses before, Genesis 2, 7 and 8, the Lord God formed the man. After that, the Lord God planted the garden. But then there were still some other verses, 9, 10, 11, wherein God was just doing a lot of things, a lot of amazing things. And I wonder, unsa ang ginabuhat, right? And I actually believe that he was doing nothing. But at the same time, he was doing something. He was observing, watching, and learning as God made the garden. That scripture reinforces that God, because he is a finest worker, as Patrick shared to us last week, God is a finest worker, right? Being the fine worker that he is, there is a special reason when he makes things in a certain order. Take note, what did he make first? He made the universe first, right? And then after the universe, after setting the laws of physics in motion, he zoomed in to the stars, to the sun, so that with that sun, Earth, the next thing he creates will be sustained. And even on Earth, there is an order to how he does things. He created the land before he created the animals. He created the water before he created the fish. There is a certain order, and there is a certain reason and purpose when he makes things in order. Are you getting my picture here? So I believe, I'm firmly convicted, there was a reason why there is an order here. God formed man, and then he made the garden. All right? Are you with me? Still with me? All right. So I want to act this out for you, okay? Bear with me. If I was man and God created me with his bare hands, man, with all the handsome details and the perfect abs and the and the biceps. And then the first thing I would notice is that because of the breath, it just smells so good. Makamata ko. Wow. You know why I would say wow? Because I saw what he just made. I saw the creation, the earth he just made. I saw the stars and the moon. Don't you think I would be wowed with that? I would be. You know why? Even God himself, the creator, was wowed by his own creation. Every time he creates something, he says, it is good. Kay man, it is very good. Unsa pa kaya kay man when he saw creation? Edi wow. Ikaw na Lord, edi wow, di ba? So flabbergasting, so dumbfounding, so awesome, so amazing, so astounding. It fills up his senses. Sensory overload. And this is the best thing ever. And well, gatulo ang laway ni man, duulan siya ni God. Kablok anak, chill lang. You know what? What I did with the universe, how you see it, it is so in order, how it's so beautifully arranged. You know what? You can do that as well. Pero as for now, chill lang sa. Watch and learn. Then he created the garden. Are you with me? That is the order there. He formed man. To be honest, as a young Christian, I was a bit confused when I read Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. Because why? There are two creation accounts. Matingala ka. Alright? Nag-create na si God og plants and trees, then naghimo na po siya garden. Redundant. No, there's no redundance there. That is actually the mind of Christ. He was trying to show something. You know what he was doing? He was demonstrating to Adam how he can work it and keep it for himself. You know the beauty you're seeing in the universe? You can do it yourself, my son. Watch and learn muna. Are you with me? Getting the picture? What is my point? All work, all sort of work, studies, any sort of work, call center agent, maybe you're a traffic aide, you're a tricycle driver, any work, you're a student, whatever work, janitor, construction worker, that is actually you taking part in something that only God did before. Guess what? When God made you, there was no work for you. All you did, Adam, all Adam did was, alam mo yun, just be wowed. And then now, God tells you, oh, you saw that? You saw what I did? Do the same. I'm bringing you into the garden. You know what that makes me think? That's the first ever promotion right there. The promotion from doing nothing at all to doing something that actually matters. Something so beautiful. And guess what? That something beautiful, that is work. That makes work a privilege, a promotion, and lastly, a gift. And you would see that it's really a gift. You would be amazed because God has this habit of doing things. Diba when he created the rest of creation, what did he do? He used his words. Now let there be light, let there be fish teeming in the sea, let there be anything with his words. But you would come to wonder that God employs a different method here. The same way he made man, he also, the Lord God planted a garden. It doesn't say there, the Lord God spoke a garden into existence. Who among you thinks he is actually able to do that, to speak it into existence? But no, he actually did it with his bare hands. That is so that Adam will learn how to do it himself. All right? And you would even wonder, just read Genesis 2, man, it's really amazing. Genesis 1 and 2. You would see that after planting the garden, God would make the first ever irrigation system in the history of mankind. He would split one great river into three rivers to be the automatic watering system for the plants in the Garden of Eden. All right? And that was God teaching him agriculture 101, my son. All right? Irrigation system. You need irrigation para mabubuhani mo ang tanom. All right? That was God right there using his bare hands to tell him what to do. That makes work a gift, right? Now, I want to prove to you even more, no? How this verse, the Lord God took the man, right? That act of taking comes actually from the same Hebrew word that God used, the Bible uses, when he promoted David from being a shepherd of dumb sheep to being a shepherd of dumb people. Right? A king. To be a king. In other words, look, he chose David as a servant and took him. Same word. That act of taking is actually an act of promotion. And once again, I want to tell you, you being able to do something, you being a student in Siliman, in Nursu, in Foundation, man, that's a gift. Don't take it for granted. Alright? That's a gift right there. Even your work. Alright? Sa mga YP in the place and sa mga married in the place. That's a gift. Never take it for granted. You could be just, alam mo yun, doing nothing, staring at blankly at the wall and doing, di ba, what I usually do. But, here you are. You're working. That makes it a blessing. That's why for me, hating the gift called work and loving the Friday gimmick more, alam mo yung Friday gimmick, it could be another day, it could be a Thursday, whatever is your day off, or the day, the night before day off, loving that more than your work, man, I find it really ironic. Because, tanawa, let's have a boxing match between Friday gimmick and the 6-day work week. So it could be a 5-day work week for some, 4-day. Let's take a look at this together. The Friday gimmick brings you fun. Who among you wants to have fun after a week of work, di ba? You really enjoy at the end of the week. You want to splurge. Yes, it brings you fun. But the 6-day work week, you know what it brings you? It brings you funds for you to be able to have more fun. Friday gimmick, it gives you a hangover, right? I'm talking about not just an alcoholic hangover. Diba? When you're having so much fun, you tend to forget the very important thing, sleep, diba? Hangover. But what your 6-day work week gives you? Gives you food, clothing, and shelter. The Friday gimmick, it leaves you after Friday or whatever day. Leaves you right away, as if wala ka ila sa imuha. Right? But the 6-day work week, almost always there for you. Doesn't that make a good love story? Di ba? Sinong pipiliin mo sa dalawa? You get my point here. Right? That's why for me, man, it's ironic that you hate your work. It's the very thing that provides for you. Right? Let me illustrate to you even more. I just love proving a point with several pictures. And you see, if this was you, the shaky, empty plastic bottle. And because of our emptiness, God, man, He just desperately wants, He desperately desires to provide for you. Don't you think so? God really wants to provide for us. In fact, you're breathing oxygen right now because He's providing for you. But here's the thing. For Him to provide for you, guess what? For God to bless you, He wants you to have this blessing inside of Him. He wants to give you this blessing. But for Him to bless you, He needs a means, a medium through which He can provide for you. Alright? So look at this. No medium. Nothing to through which He can provide you with. Did you still receive the blessing? Yes, of course. So, He needs a funnel. Alright? the medium through which He can bless your life. He can give you the provision. So many times, He uses the funnel called other people to bless you, give you your provision. Have you ever experienced that time na, man, wala na ko'y baon, wala na ko'y pangkaon, and then gilibre kag galit? Wala jud kay giingnan. Seriously though, I've heard of stories, ministers, missionaries, because of emergency expenses, man, grabe, they can't think of any way to have their next meal, and then suddenly, out of nowhere, a neighbor would come knocking at their house, huh? Giving them humba and one caldero of rice. I've heard of stories like that. I've experienced it myself. And I know you have experienced that yourself. Who among you have experienced being blessed by other people? God using other people, diba? Labo na one-to-one. Kidding aside, no? Other people, we get to experience that. But sadly, it's not always. Maybe if you're doing one-to-one, that's once a week, two victory groups, thrice a week, but not every day, right? There are also times God provides through the funnel called miracle, right? Have you ever experienced that time when you were checking the balance inquiry of your ATM account? You were expecting 10,000. Lo and behold, there was 10,500. Experience one, ha? Nay extra gamay. Alright? Extra gamay. Alright? You know what? God can provide through a miracle. I can remember in my college years, and I was doing this fasting. I was part of Victory already, and my mom is not. So I cannot explain to her why I'm not eating. Right? But I was fasting. I just did not show. Then, kumantay siya, kapagutom niya akong anak. But actually, in my prayer concerns, I wrote there, in my prayer concerns, I want to have kanang bala bitaw sa Game Boy Advance ba? Cartridge. Para maka-enjoy ko. And then, mabaw kayo akong prayer request, right? But guess what? God provided for that. I opened the Bible in my third day of fasting. Opened the Bible sa verse bitaw na, do not be anxious about anything, but in prayer and petition, present your thanksgiving to God. Right? Then he answered ni God yung prayer. Open to that part, I saw 500 pesos. Seriously, I saw 500 pesos. And guess what? And the funny thing about that is the story here is that it's actually my mom who placed it there. Kaya binyag, ano niya akong anak, uy, grabe ka gutom na, lupyak na ang nawong. She didn't understand fasting. That's why she gave the 500 there para makakaunput ka anak. Alright? And that was the miracle for me. It could be other ways for you. Some are grand, some are little, but definitely, the truth is, God can provide for you through a miracle. These miracles blow our minds. But here's the thing. It's not every day. You know what's every day? His favorite funnel of choice. The funnel called work. Every day. Monday. Tuesday. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, day off. Arasiti sa buntag, Monday, Tuesday, always provides for you. You know what? This may be a very simplistic illustration, but it has many powerful truths for us. All right? Number one. When God changed funnels, did it change the life-giving blessing? Is it still the same life-giving blessing? Same water, right? Same drinkable water. Whatever funnel is using, no, it's the same life-giving blessing. In other words, work, okay, brings the same life-giving blessing a miracle does. So who are you to choose? Diba? Lord, kaning miracle lang, Lord. Kaya wala ko'y buhaton. Kaning other people ang Lord, baga pwede mong naong ngayon. He would use work, right? And there's another reason for that, right? Why work is His favorite funnel of provision? Why? Because work, through work, you don't just experience the blessing, you experience the character molding. Have you noticed that in your studies, in your working, that's where your patience is being stretched? That's where your faith is being stretched? That's where your sleeping time is, alam mo yun, messed up by your teacher, by your boss. It's where your character is being molded. Why is character being molded? Why? Because character makes you a better handler of the blessing that God is going to provide you. God is more than willing to overflow you with blessing. But if you're not ready to contain the blessing, He will not. Why? Because it could destroy you. Are you here with me? That's why work is His favorite funnel of blessing. It molds your character rather than just blessing you. Are you still with me? All right. So, here's the thing. When we hate the funnel called work, it's like saying na, so nilisod magay ng work ko eh. Kung boss, ginakuan ko, ginabuso ko. Kung office mates, ginalibak ko in front of me. Kapuy kayo. If you're hating the funnel called work, it's like you're destroying that funnel, leaving it into something like this. A funnel full of cracks. Guess what? When God blesses you with a funnel full of cracks, would you still receive the blessing? Yes, you would still. But there will be spillage. Nay makalas. There will be leakage. You don't receive the full blessing. Let's bring it home to where you are. Deduction. If you did not study well because you hated your studies, your course, diba? You experienced deduction. Sa mga gatrabaho, salary deduction naman. Right? YP. If you're always late, you perform poorly. Diba? You're cracking your funnel. So when God blesses you, nay minus yung salary. Then you don't wonder why. No wonder. You did not do your job. You did not do it excellently. Are you here with me? The most dreaded word, demotion. The opposite of promotion. For students, demotion is alam mo yun, staying second year for the rest of your life. Diba? Sakit, diba? Suma. Suma 10 taon. But, I'm gonna end with this. How do you keep your funnel in good shape? How do you keep it from cracking? That will be the end of our preaching tonight. Duha lang. Akong giingon ganiya. Work for God. Work with God. Right? That's the key to keeping your funnel in good shape. Work for God. What does working for God mean? Who among you has watched Minions? Huh? The movie? Or Despicable Me 1 and Despicable Me 2? Di ba? Alright? These Minions are cute, adorable creatures with one thing in mind. They want to serve a master. And so you would see in the movie, they would just hop from one master to another, right? Kimamatay, correct? They serve the T-Rex, and then namatay ang T-Rex, all because of their doing. They would look for another master, and then they would approach world conquerors, right? Being their dominions of world conquerors and even evil villains, right? And lastly, they serve Gru, right? The character of Despicable Me. What is my point? Sila, whenever there was a season in the movie wherein they did not have a master to serve, you know what happened to them? They felt depressed. They would try to have fun playing soccer, but then without the joy, you know what I mean? Never having the joy, patay, right? Why? Because they were not doing what they were made for. Why am I sharing this? Because we are a lot like minions, except for the evil master part, right? We are a lot like minions in that we were designed, we were created meticulously for one thing, and that is to work for God. To work for God. And if you don't do it, sometimes you would feel kulang. And you would try to patch it up with the Friday gimmick, diba? You would do everything during the Fridays because you're dissatisfied with your work during the week. Why? Because you did not do it for God. Right? That's what working for God means. That's what working for God means. We're made to work for God. And in the Hebrew sense of the word, work actually comes from the Hebrew abad. And in Hebrew, it also means to worship. There are actually two interchangeable words in the Bible, in the biblical sense. It's the same word used to describe when the skilled workers built the tabernacle in Exodus. When the craftsmen, mga mananahi, they made fine linen work and embroidery in 1 Chronicles 4:21. Same word, abad, to work / to worship. Same word that was used to describe when Solomon assigned priests to do full-time ministry in the temple. In other words, work and worship are the same. Work and worship are the same. And there's two important truths that we can get from that. Listen to this, okay? God is as much pleased with work wholeheartedly done on weekdays as He is pleased with songs wholeheartedly sung on Sundays. Both are melodies pleasing to His ears. Alright? In fact, your six-day work week is the longer form of worship. It's the better form of worship. Why? You get to do it every day. So don't worry if you can't hold a high note or a long note like Tiff or Kiko in the music team. Kung yabag ka, yabag jud ka. Ay napugsa, di ba? Pero kanta gyapon, alright? Worship mag yabon na kay God. But here's the thing. Kung yabag, here's what you can do kung yabag ka sa Sunday. What you can do is do your job excellently. Do your job excellently. That's as good a worship song to God. Mas mabalaka ka kung yabag na gaya ka sa pagkanta, yabag pa jud sa trabaho. Or sa ipagskwila. Di ba? Wala na kay chance to worship God. Are you here with me? What is my point? Worship God with your work. Worship God with your work. In other words, you cannot compartmentalize God. You cannot limit Him to Sunday only. Because everything we do, every effort we do, that is supposedly for His glory. Right? That is for His glory. Nor, listen to this as well, nor can we limit Him only to full-time ministry work. What do I mean? Never ever think that my job as a pastor is more pleasing to God than your job as something else, as someone else. No. God is as well pleased with your job, whether it's a full-time pastor, a full-time mother, a full-time construction worker, a full-time security guard, a full-time cook. Right? Every ingredient dropped, that's a note sung, right? That is so pleasing to His ears. Every nail hammered as you work as a construction worker, if it's done for God, man, it's a melody to His ears. Even if it's so mundane and boring, every stroke of your pen, if you're a student working on your project, every deadline met, man, lami kinapaminahon sa tenga ni God. Worship God with your work. That's the better form of worship. You get to do it every day. Right? And lastly, it's very important because yes, if you are working for God, it's a good thing. But if you just work for God but not with God, man, you'll get burned out. Because you see, the purpose why God gave us work is because He wants to do it with us. With us. No? God gives you work so that He can cry with you, so that He can laugh with you, so that He can toil with you, so He can sweat with you. He wants you to rely on Him. But more than that, He wants you to live life for, and not just for, with Him. Alright? If you count how many times the word with us or with her or with him occurs in the Bible, God being with him, God being with her, right? Kung pangitawan niyo na, I tried searching. I was amazed to find out it occurs more than 24 times in the Bible. You know what that is? That's more than enough for every hour in your day. Our God is a 24/7 present God. Right? He's always there for you. It's just a matter of seeing His hand. It's just a matter of opening our eyes, opening our ears, and actually realizing na, Lord, naman day ka sa akong workplace. Lord, naman day ka ani akong paper na grabe na akong ginama. Lord, naman day ka ani assignment. Lord, naman day ka ani na pagpulaw. Nganong dali makapoy? Because you're not seeing Him. Alam mo yun? It's okay, you're not excited to work. But if you realize that it's actually, man, this is actually something I can do with you, Lord, fills you with so much excitement. Because you get to do it with the God of the universe. You get to do it with Him. In fact, the very end of the Old Testament, God's name was Emmanuel. That's one of my favorite names for God because it means God with us. Here's the thing. He was called Emmanuel because He went here to earth to save us. God, in all His power, could have easily just sat on His throne and commanded, oh, everyone who declares my name, they're saved. And not do anything about it. Okay? God could easily offer you salvation on a silver platter. Bro, James, here is salvation. Enjoy it. And if you did not see how much He paid, how much He worked for that salvation, would you appreciate the salvation? No, you won't. Your salvation, guys, is a product of God's hard work. He could have easily just said it. Diba? He's able to say anything into existence. Right? Remember ganiya? And God said, let there be light. He could just say, let there be salvation and not do anything. It could happen. You will be saved. You will be secure. You will be whole. James, you are whole. James, you are secure. But he does not do anything. You will not make it precious for you. Are you here with me? That's why he had to pay it with hard work, so that you will appreciate it more. What is my point? Hard work adds value to our life. Without hard work, actually, there is no value. You would be doing nothing. You would feel, alam yun, like, I'm made for something else. I'm made for something more. Akong question sa mga tao na inana, are you doing something? Usually, they're not doing anything. That's why they feel like, I'm made for something more. Because definitely, they're made. You're made for something more. And part of that is work. Where you are right now, whether you love it or not, God placed you there for a reason. You're a full-time minister of God in that place. You don't have to be a pastor, but wherever you're working, you're a full-time minister there. You're an example of God's glory. Right? Are you still with me? No amount of our hard work could ever match up to the hard work that God paid for our salvation. No. But here's what we can do. We can't pay God back, because actually our hard work is nothing compared to His hard work. But here's what we can do. How much He did for you, that's actually your fuel for how much you can do for your relationships, how much work you can do for your work, how much work you can do for your studies, how much work you can do for your relationships. If you're feeling tired, remember, how much did God do for me? Oh, He did much. I can do much as well. Are you here with me? Feeling tired with your work? Just ask. Remember, how much is done for you? Are you blessed with this word today, guys? Here's what I will leave all of you. Forget all the gimmicks, all the pakulo. Just remember this. Write this down. Work is a gift from God, meant to be enjoyed for Him, with Him. Work is a gift from God, meant to be enjoyed for Him, with Him.